We're at the IAC Pavilion on a beautiful Friday afternoon, AirVenture 2017. It is crowded here today. Coming in this morning, I have not seen traffic AirVenture like this in years. It was unbelievably crowded this morning. A lot of people are showing up to watch the Blue Angels and the rest of the air show today. And it's like an old-time aviation festival out here.
That it is.
I'm with Robert Armstrong. Robert was just elected the vice president of the IAC. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And what is that process? How does that work, your election process?
Well, the IAC is a volunteer organization with a board of directors. I had previously been on the board of directors and wanted to get back into the management or the helping the organization. And so the vice president's slot could be available without trouble, but it was a good place for me to fit back in the organization, so I threw my hat back in the ring, and now I'm the vice president.
There you go. Well, thank you for serving, I guess, is what they would say.
Yeah.
And where's your home base?
I'm out of Athens, Georgia.
Okay.
Little town with there's a college down there that plays football sometimes that people hear about, but other than that.
I assume you're a fan.
Well, you live in the town. If you're not, they make you move.
I thought I detected some kind of a little bit of an accent in your voice.
We call that not from around here.
So let's talk about some competition stuff. So IAC, of course, is the International Aerobatic Club. So in that mission, you have a foundation of competition, right?
Correct. We have five categories of competition, and we have two categories that we send to international championships overseas or sometimes here in the U.S., so it is an international organization. We do have members that are not U.S. citizens, so therefore it is an international aerobatic club. We have members from Sweden, Germany, France, South Africa, all over the world.
Yeah, so... How do you organize this? So you have a structure for these competitions, I assume, and we go from there.
Over the years, the structure has gotten very well defined. I flew my first contest in 1982 down the road at Fond du Lac, and at that time, my rule book was a small document, very thin. And as most rule books do, they grow when there's a void found. So now our rule book is quite thick. On the other side of that, when I first started competition, you could not go back here to the fly market and buy a book on competition aerobatics because there had been none written. Now, Mike Goulding and several other people that competed actually produce very nice books that are very informative about how to fly aerobatics and some about how to fly competition.
So a pilot comes in, maybe they started flying a Cessna, and they decide, I want to fly aerobatics. I'm going to join the IAC. So they send the IAC a little bit of money, and now they're in the IAC, and now they want to compete, or they have an idea that they might want to compete. How does one start, and how does it progress?
Well, we have five categories. The beginning category is a very simple category. We used to refer to it simply as a loop, roll, and spin.
Loop, roll, and spin,
and
okay.
And it's three maneuvers. It's can be done in the most basic aerobatic airplane available. No inverted system, no complex, no high-dollar airplane.
And we're talking about basic 3G aerobatics, right?
Yeah, 3 or 4G airplane can fly this. Obviously, it has to be legal to do aerobatics in. But other than that, 115 horse Tatabria, a 150 aerobat, clip wing cub, any of those airplanes, even a Stearman would do well in it. So
that's where they start, and they go and get instruction, and then start competing.
There are those like myself that started in the low category and have worked our way all the way up to flying unlimited in world events. We have a lot of members whose airplanes were not suitable for moving up another category, so they've stayed in the sportsman category or the intermediate category, and they're still there.
Super decathlon
is limited in what it can do, but it can fly very well. It's not the airplane so much. Some of the maneuvers are restricted by the manufacturer, so obviously you can't fly a different category. But a competent pilot can always win in the airplane if it's suitable for flying those figures.
I see. So those are local. This is the International Aerobatic Club, but a lot of the meets are local meets here in the U.S. What if you want to go to the Worlds? Now what do you have to do?
Well, the World Contest takes a little ladder climbing because we select a team from the competitors to represent the U.S. at these world events. And we typically pick those at the U.S. Nationals, and those who form the team to go overseas. Those pilots will have been flying aerobatics for 8, 10, 12 years. They've climbed the ladder. They've spent money on airplanes. They've spent a lot of money on fuel and training. And we'll select those, and they'll be our representatives at a world event. This year, we're sending in an unlimited team to South Africa. I have been on 10 world teams, and by various means, I'm not there now because I think some of the younger people need to go represent the U.S. I'm getting a little bit old.
There's one of them standing right behind you right now.
Yes, I always like to see the young whippersnappers come up, yeah. And sometimes you get frustrated with them, but you're always glad when the new blood shows up that wants to do this and can do it very well. That means I can step away gracefully and there'll be somebody to replace me.
So describe one of your favorite competitions.
Every competition has the parts that I remember favorably. You try to remember the good stuff and hide the bad stuff. But in traveling around the world and going to world contests and to have a difficulty with your airplane or some problem in some foreign country and to have someone that you know by name only because you've competed against them come forward and help you with parts, whatever you need. The EAA is the big organization. The IAC is the International Aerobatic Club. And if you participate in a world championship, you will wind up with an international family as well. Because I'm certain after he flies two or three championships overseas, he'll see similar, you know, teams, many people, and he's going to wind up with friends he knows from all these countries that have the same desire, same interest. So your family as a competitor in the U.S. is limited to people in the U.S. The people flying in the international championship develop an international family.
Mm-hmm. How do advanced aerobatic pilots decide what airplane they're going to fly?
Well, obviously, you have to have an airplane that can do the required figures. And most of the airplanes these days are manufactured. We have quite a few off-the-shelf airplanes. Years ago, you had to build your own airplane, which kind of limited what you did. We have extras in the game bird displayed out here, which are very capable of flying both the advanced and unlimited level competition. There are others. I think we have a couple of MXSs out there flying the air show. All these airplanes are either factory built or home built, and their goal was to be able to fly unlimited aerobatics. So it gets down to sometimes the Ford Chevrolet discussion. I like this better than that. But if you take the two different airplanes and give them a competent pilot, then the type of airplane really is not the deciding factor in who wins. It's the pilot who makes the airplane do the best.
Which is from a competition standpoint, a good thing. Otherwise, a terrible pilot could just go out, if he had a lot of money, right, buy a fantastic airplane and then win a competition.
As frustrating as it might be, we've seen quite a few of those people think they're going to win by buying the airplane only to get their pride handed to them at the first event.
Well, that happens. Yeah. It happens in a lot of sports, actually. Yeah. Not just airplanes, boats, cars, racing.
Yeah. Checkbook does not win competition aerobatics.
No.
Only
no.
Gas burned.
That's right. So, let's go back. What year was your favorite competition and where was it?
Well, there are things that you remember. Like I say, my first contest that I flew in, I had visited several contests in the U.S. And the first contest that I participated in was the Fond du Lac Championships down the road here in 1982. I had never flown in a contest. I knew some of the names of the organizers, board of directors, the president. Mike Huer was the president. I show up on the contest site, and I am lost. Before the week is, I have been helped along and have never been left for an answer. And the whole group of people that were involved with IAC made me so welcome and such a warm feeling, I had a desire to continue at one event. That contest, I never won a contest. The rule book was thin. I asked the questions when I didn't know the answer, and I got the answer. Sportsman category was at that time the first contest you fly. You have an event that's the first event. They have a trophy for the highest scoring first contest pilot. There were three or four of us that were flying in our first contest there. And when the score was tallied, I won the high-scoring first contest trophy. I've been the national champion in two or three categories. I've got world medals and SIVA medals. And the highest-scoring first contest event, Fond du Lac, is the only trophy that has my name on it.
Oh.
Because it was, we're here, and they had time to let the manufacturer of the trophy know, and my name is engraved on it. So I have a room full of trophies and plaques. And that one, which you only have one opportunity to get, has my name on it.
Well, that's very special.
It is.
That's awesome. Well, Robert, we're gonna go to a break, and then we're gonna come back and talk to Cameron, which, as we said when we were off the air, you know, you're passing this kind of on to a new generation moving up and providing mentorship and guidance, and we'll talk a little bit about that here in just a moment. We are on the fly at the IAC Pavilion. You're listening to EAA Radio.